Moncrief on News Talk.
Barbara and Declan are here.
Hello.
To be nice.
Hello.
To each other and
we
everyone
are very
else
nice
out
to each
there.
Other. Yeah,
that's the spirit.
Mutual
today.
Emotional support
yes.
and psychological support to each other. Is that right, Pat?
Yes, absolutely. Right. And 5-year plans.
And 5-year plans.
That might take 10 years.
Right. This part, I don't know if 5 years is going to work for this person. I met a great guy, and in a couple of weeks, he's taking me home to meet his family in Sweden. I'm mad about him. I can't believe I got so lucky. We're so compatible and everything. In the last 7 months, has been pretty much like a fairy tale.
Aww.
I'm Irish and he's Swedish. Yes, that's what we got that one already. But he's lived here for so long that I often forget any kind of a cultural divide. That was until he started planning our trip back to his family. The plan is to go for a week and spend it with his parents and then stay with his aunt and uncle as they live in a different part of Sweden on the lake.
Mm.
All was sounding good until he casually mentioned the family do saunas together every day and these are completely naked. I don't think I can sit comfortably in a sauna with my boyfriend, his parents and his aunt and uncle, fully starkers. I think there's a real difference in opinion about nudity, to be honest. He says that he even did a nudist holiday with his parents and an ex-girlfriend and seemed offended when I shut down the suggestion. I don't think I'm a prude, but the last thing I want is to see everyone's bits while I'm trying to make a good impression. What should I do?
Do you know, when I read this first, I thought, yeah, dead right. Yeah, no, I'm dead right.
Don't dirty be doing Swedes.
Don't be doing things you don't want to do. You know, just refuse. Just say you're not having anything to do with the naked sauna with his family because that's not part of your culture. And, you know, no, you couldn't be doing that. And then I thought about it and I thought, like, yeah, that's kind of looking at it very much through an Irish lens and an Irish cultural lens. And, you know, I think being Irish, we do have like a lot of hang-ups about our bodies and nakedness and sex. And we get the whole lot all mixed up in the one thing. And I am certainly not an expert on Swedish culture by any means. But I think that that is the point, that this is part of Swedish culture. And I think that... therefore, I kind of changed my mind. And I think that, you know, she's looking at it that she doesn't want to see anybody's bits. But I do think that when everybody's naked, I think, because I haven't experienced this myself, I think everybody stops seeing everybody else's bits. Do you know what I mean? Mm. I think it just becomes kind of, it just melts
it
into the background.
Blurs.
It all blurs. Exactly.
Out of the pier, Barbara.
It all blurs. And, you know, I do remember like a million years ago when
we
worked.
Naked right now?
Yeah. Under our clothes we are. Yeah.
Yeah, of course we are.
Oh, God forbid.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Yeah. No, but I do remember when I worked in the Canary Islands, it was the only experience I had of a nudist beach, which we used to go to regularly because there was no clients on it. So we could go and swim and there was no, we weren't going to meet our clients. But it was full of naked Germans and generally older rather than younger naked Germans. And you realise very soon that, like, especially, and I, you know, I know this is slightly ageist, but, like, especially as people get older, like, naked bodies are not attractive. Like,
no.
There's nothing sexy about it. There's nothing attractive about it. And, you know, it just becomes, like, it just blurs, as you say, into the background. So my advice here is... the nudist holiday might be a bit too much, but I think she should give the saunas a go. I think she should go with an open mind and say, I'll give it a shot. We'll see how we go. And be open to it rather than just blank. I'm not doing that. I don't want to see his parents' bits or I don't want to see his aunt and uncle's bits.
Yeah.
Controversial.
No, I actually get what your whole little journey with the whole thing is similar to the one I had. I don't know if I've come to the same end conclusion because I was thinking, what if her culture was completely different? What if, say, for example, she came from a Middle Eastern culture where, you know, they cover their bodies all the time and there's a whole, what would be the cultural expectation there and how would that, you know, round peg be squared off, whatever. So I think fundamentally it comes down to what you're personally comfortable with and it comes down to what you're willing to do to experience another culture because that has to be where it's at. If it's a bit kind of a slightly...
But doesn't following your logic there, which is interesting about, you know, cultures, say Middle Eastern cultures of that, where people, you know, wear quite a lot of, they cover their bodies quite a lot and they don't wear tight clothes.
Yeah, the modesty thing is different and it's a cultural, you know.
But if she was going out with a guy who was from that culture and she was going on holiday, she wouldn't have any issue, I would say, in him saying, look, you're going to have to cover yourself up because, you know, you can't go around with, you know, your legs out and your shoulders out and your arms out or whatever else. And she probably would accept that.
whether she accepted it or not, she would recognise that it was it was the cultural divide in that way. I think the nudity thing is what's kind of setting off the thought process into a different space, because nudity can be two things at the one time. Nudity is just, you know, your God-given body out for public view, but it's also something that's associated with sexuality as well. So when those two things are kind of pushed together, the awkwardness is completely normal. I think that's the bit that has to be acknowledged, is that the awkwardness is normal because your body is, you described...
It's normal, but it's been culturally engineered to... The awkwardness.
We all wear clothes. Even Swedish people wear clothes. And when they're walking around. And I think, you know, this is also, I don't buy the idea that the Swedes are all kind of just nude at the drop of a hat. I think there's an element of them that might be into this. But I would also expect that there would be other people in Sweden who would be like, I'm not so much into that.
The ones who go to saunas are, though.
Well, yeah, exactly. So I wouldn't see this necessarily as a Swedish cultural thing. I think it's his family's cultural thing. And we all have experience of entering into groups where that's the way they do it. And, you know, so she's completely within her rights to go, I don't want to do that. That's where I ended
funny
up in
though, my... Then I'm just thinking, like, the aunt and uncle live by a lake. So if she's there in the summer, high summer, and it's nice weather and all the rest of it, and if somebody suggests we'll all go skinny dipping at night, would that be... I think that would be more culturally we'd go...
That's... I've some experience of this. Now, this was a thing I did for telly. So it wasn't voluntarily. But it was in Sweden. And so I, like... There was a TV camera with me, which nearly broke because I had to go into the sauna. But the gig was that I was in the sauna.
Yeah.
And this is what people did. And it was beside the... Now, this wasn't in the summer. This was during the winter. Oh. And they would knock a hole in the ice in the North Sea.
Wow.
And then you'd sit in the sauna until you were sweating. And then you ran out and jumped in the sea. And if you survived that experience, I don't know, it was deemed to be good for you. But because it was for telly, I was in there with a pair of togs on and everyone else was naked. Jesus, the daggers were like, they were offended by my non-nakedness, if you know what I mean.
But I kind of get that because it's kind of everybody in or nobody in.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
Yeah, they were genuinely offended by it.
Yeah. Like, why?
As if it was a judgment on them somehow. Yeah. I'm wearing my tie because you're all weird. You know, that was the vibe. No, I can't speak Swedish, but that was kind of the feeling I got from it. You know,
even though
a camera was with me and all the rest of it, but they still just didn't like
having
it.
Because I remember, again, like going back to the 80s, when I worked in travel, I was abroad a lot in Spain and the Canaries and all that. And it was normal for Irish women to sunbathe topless. You wouldn't do it here.
Yeah, but nobody, absolutely. Yeah.
You didn't have bikini tops. Yeah. You just wore your bottoms. And it was quite acceptable and nobody got their knickers in a twist about it. Whereas now,
you got into a twist with the top.
But I remember telling my girls and they were like, oh my God, really? Like, that's wild. I was like, but it wasn't again, it's just our perception of things.
That your daughters are going, oh, you wouldn't do it now.
No, they wouldn't dream of doing it.
Yeah.
But I mean, again, when you think back in the 80s, we had, women also had, if you went into a shop to buy clothes, chances were the changing room was a communal changing room.
Yeah.
That doesn't exist now anymore either. Yeah. So in lots of ways, we've become more modest about ourselves, even though we've become more liberal as a country.
And I do also think that
it's,
you know, when you say...
It's
very
Sean.
Philosophical, yes.
When you talk about nudity, you talk about, you know, I immediately go into a 1970s visual in my space. You know, it's not a modern thing to be doing nudism. That seems like, to me, like a very 70s, 80s
kind of
vibe.
It was the 80s I was talking about now, please. Yeah. Don't age me another decade. It was the 80s I was talking about.
But the Germans are mad into the nudist.
They're mad into it, And it's not sexy. It's got nothing to do with sex. It's just, I would imagine it feels quite, I don't know about a sauna because I hate saunas. I hate the feeling that I can't breathe. But I certainly say if you were swimming or, you know, you're on the beach or something, it must be quite freeing if you get used to it, you know. The thing I always have is nudist, you know, these nudist colony holidays, because I always have an issue about people sitting on chairs and all that kind of stuff. I don't know.
Yeah, I know. You're supposed to, there's a protocol. You bring a towel. Bad form if you don't bring a towel.
They've an answer for everything to
sit on. Yeah.
That would embarrass me now.
Yeah. I still do think that when you get down to this, with this woman going to Sweden, she wants to go and she wants to make a good impression. In her head, you know, it's, I'm going to get dollied up and I'm going to get my hair done and not be sweating and lying there with everything all out there, you know.
But that's only for part of the holiday, and everyone else around her will be sweating. When I worked in Sweden, it was normal to be naked in saunas, as Swedes haven't many hang-ups.
Yeah.
The awkwardness is because the Irish have a hang-up about nudity. I lived in Sweden for years. It's totally okay to wear shorts or a bikini if you're not comfortable being naked. And Swedes are cool with this, or just wear a towel around you. So maybe they are going to be okay with this, but maybe not. I don't know. Just tell her to keep a towel around her. Many people do that in the saunas in Austria, where I have been, which are supposed to be naked only.
Irish.
Okay, yeah. Being in pubs is a big part of Irish culture for a lot of people. Would we be offended if a foreign person wanted to come to the pub but not drink? Not at all. Do what makes you comfortable. Not that that's quite the same thing, but you know, okay, I take the point.
I love that analogy.
It's kind of an odd analogy.
Yeah.
So she should sit in there with a towel around and say, anyone want a drink?
I need you want a drink. I've got whiskey in my pocket.
I'm going to have a Guinness now. Yeah. That's 90 degrees Celsius. So what are we telling
I'm
her
telling
to do?
I'm telling her she should give it a shot.
Get them off.
I think give it a shot. You've nothing to lose. Nobody's going to care.
No.
Nobody's looking at you.
I think she has to be comfortable. I think building it up into this big thing where she's going to be forced into like nudity is, that feels like an intrusion. But I think that there has to be a way for her to feel comfortable there.
Yeah, but she doesn't know until she tries it.
Yeah.
And she might try it and go, do you know what? That was grand.
That was grand.
Nobody actually, you know, it's like what my mother used to say, nobody cares. Nobody's looking at you. Nobody cares.
Mm. And they're not. They don't care.
They're not.
Yeah.
They don't care.
I've stopped caring.
Can't imagine her man, Dad, going to, you know.
Already we don't care.
We don't care.
Oddly, we never do kind of breaking news in this slot, but we have some. Joe Duffy has just resigned. He announced he's resigning from RTE after 37 years working there. He was been doing Liveline for 27 years.
Right.
So he's leaving that. He's setting up a naked sauna, apparently.
Good man.
It's something he's an ambition he's always had. Anyway, good luck to Joe. I have a friend who's just gone through a breakup. They were together for 5 years, and now it's as if she's making up for lost time. I am married, and I feel that if I say anything, that she'll get angry at me. So I don't really know how I can intervene, or even if it's my place. I think she has slept with a different man the last 3 weekends. And that is not the person we all know. I understand getting over heartbreak can be difficult, and the last thing I want to do is slut shame. But I do think she's had sex with quite a number of people since her ex, and sort of seems to be quite careless and carefree about it. I think ultimately she will end up getting hurt. She seems to be dating crazy and very much trying to fill a void. I'm in such a different spot in life, so I don't want to scream like I'm lecturing her. But also, how do I tell her to calm down?
There's a lot of kind of answering your own questions.
One is I don't want to take my clothes off. The other one is time to put our clothes on.
Yeah, clutching your pearls and I mean, there's a lot of judgment and a lot of kind of, you know, not really knowing what you're talking about, vibing off this particular answer. I am married, and I feel if I say, I don't know why, you know, her being married is relevant to the thing, unless it's very relevant to the whole thing. The values of one person and the values of another person, you know, can be different and they can still be friends. But I mean, this strange level of judgment kind of just set me off here. Look, I suppose when it comes to the idea of somebody else's sex life being a little bit more, you know, varied or promiscuous or whatever labelling word you want to come up. When you're married and at home and doing whatever that version of the world is.
Doing the same thing every night.
Well, you even just do the same thing every night.
Just more boring.
But only thinking that that's the thing that you should be doing. That's where the problem in this scenario lies, is that whatever's going on with this person, implying that, you know, she's had, I think, 3 one-night stands, whatever it is, over the last month, is this kind of like off the rails, you know, she's destroying her whole life. It's kind of a bit heavy-handed as far as I'm concerned. Now, I'm not suggesting that I think that that's a career path for her, that that's the road to eternal happiness. I think a lot of people sow their wild oats. If this was the guy who did it and he had 3 one-night stands, nobody would even be writing letters into himself.
Absolutely.
So that's kind of like, you know, at the core of the whole thing. I think there's a little bit of stigma by association going along here, where the person who's writing the letter feels a bit like, oh, my own values are being compromised by somebody I know's behaviour, so therefore I'm going to try to tell them what to do. And that never ends well for anybody involved. So I think the reality of the scenario is that this is none of the letter writer's business for a start. I think that when people are going through emotional, not even emotional breakups, if they go through a breakup, if you've been in a relationship with one person and then suddenly you're free, being a little bit free and easy, you know, doesn't necessarily mean that you've got psychological issues. And it also doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to do any undue harm to yourself. Presumably this person's, you know, I don't know what she meant by carefree and careless in the letter. That's the only thing that kind of I thought was either really judgmental or she knows something that she hasn't put down in the letter about what kind of behaviours are going on.
Yeah, no, I mean, I totally agree with you. I think this is none of her business and she doesn't have any right to decide or to tell her friend what she should or shouldn't be doing when it comes to her either romantic life or her sex life. The fact that she says she seems to be dating crazy, I don't think she's dating at all. I think, as you say, she's had a couple of one night stands. And if that is making her feel better, well, then so be it. The only thing I would say, which struck me when you said, if this was a guy doing it, nobody would bat an eyelid, which I think is true. With a woman doing it, there's always the possibility of getting yourself into a dangerous situation, because obviously the whole idea of having sex with somebody leaves you really, really vulnerable. And for women, that can be dangerous. True. Now, she hasn't said anything that would give impression.
Describing one situation and automatically putting the person into, you know, let me flip it around and say the same kind of dangerous situations can happen to a woman, even if there's no kind of planned sexual activity involved anyway.
That's true.
So, you know. So I think that's not necessarily.
But it's only the thing I would say that's a, you know, if that is her concern, if there is something that she thinks her friend is doing that is careless in the sense of putting herself in danger, that would be the only reason I think she would have, a valid reason to talk to her and to explain to her that she's, you know, she's concerned about her. But assuming that's not the case, then I totally agree with you. It's nothing to do with her. I just think
it is the case that this is just somebody who's getting high up on their high horse by just the, you know, this is not the person we know is the line that
jumped out. Yeah, the person we want to be.
Yeah.
And but like friends are like that very often. You know, if you move out of your lane, like people get uncomfortable with that. Like, oh, Mary was always, she was going out with Pat for 5 years and they had a lovely relationship.
Yeah.
And it was all right. Now Mary's going out and she's having a high good time with a whole load of different fellas. And that makes people feel uncomfortable.
Married couples get really, really uncomfortable if another one of their gang breaks up.
Yeah.
It becomes this thing. It's like,
it's contagious.
Like it's a contagious disease.
Yeah.
And promiscuity is a contagious
will ensue.
Disease.
Yeah.
When all of the evidence suggests that promiscuity in the short term doesn't necessarily lead to psychological or physiological problems. And by the way, as well, from the gays, is that promiscuity when you're younger, kissing around, whatever, tends invariably to result in people being in couples, you know, very monogamous scenarios. You know, so you can't decide that just because I know that there's different scenarios with, you know, with the straight and pregnancies and all kinds of stuff that might be the issue there. But come on, you know, she's a grown woman and she's, give her some autonomy and some agency here.
And I think as a good friend, as we often said before, you keep communication open, you stay in touch.
Absolutely.
So that if there is a problem, she feels she can talk to you, but leave out the judgment.
Yeah. Is she a little bit jealous, maybe?
Might be. She might be a little bit.
I'm new to a job. And when I first started, I was pretty happy with the setup as the workload seemed manageable. My colleagues were friendly. Now that I'm in a couple of months, I've noticed that one of my direct colleagues does nothing on their work from on their work from home day, which is a Friday. It's gotten so bad that I've started to keep a log each week of how many questions go ignored when I message them or email them. The other week we had a work night out and he confessed to me that he usually plays golf every Friday, so he's gone for 4 hours of the workday. I know for sure that our bosses have no idea. I'm so frustrated by how blatant he is about it. He even jokes as he leaves the office on a Thursday for everyone to have a good weekend. I'm so tempted to politely bring it up to one of my senior colleagues, but at the same time, I'm only new. I don't want to make enemies. I feel like a fool for slaving away and doing extra hours when he's getting away with not working one day a week. Am I just being petty or should I say something?
Again, there's a lot of similarities between this and the previous one. And again, my answer is kind of similar, which is, you know, this really isn't your business. The fact that your colleague is you know, taking the whatever on a Friday and not doing any work and stealing time, if you like, from the company because he's going off and playing golf. And the fact that he's bragging about it, I guess, is really annoying. And yeah, absolutely all of that. But the only thing, again, that the only mitigating factor is that she or this person does say that they feel like a fool slaving away and doing extra hours. And if that is as a direct result of your colleague playing golf of a Friday and him not doing stuff, that you then are having to pick up the slack and cover for him, then for sure you need to say something because that's not fair. Yeah. And I think you'd say it directly first to the colleague who's playing golf on a Friday, making it very clear that you don't give a damn what he's doing on Friday, but you need his, if he's got responsibilities that he needs to do, that if he doesn't do them affect you.
The impact on you.
The impact on you, that you need to say, I need you to do that so that I'm not doing the extra.
But I get the impression with this letter, because that isn't even the way that it was phrased. It was phrased kind of like, I have noticed that some of my emails don't get replied to on a Friday. But that doesn't necessarily mean, by the way, that this person is telling the truth when they say that they spend the whole day in the golf course. A lot of people joke about that. They go, because the work from home thing is, has become, you know, Donald Trump is always going on about how, you know, we hate it. And as a result, it has a kind of a, it has a,
an edgy
appeal to it. Yeah. You kind of go, oh yeah, I'm at home doing nothing of a Friday. Maybe they're doing something else. Again, you don't know what somebody's doing in their job. If they can make it look like they're not working very hard while you're slaving away, maybe that says more about your abilities than theirs. And from that point of view, I go, look, if it's the only way in which you have the right to care about somebody else's work is if it directly affects you.
Yes, exactly.
Or you're evaluating their job.
Exactly.
But you're not. So.
And I would have thought, and again, I don't know a lot about this, but from talking to other people who do have work from home options within their job, is it not a case that in most companies you actually have to log on and log off so that people know that you're at the other end of your laptop, that you're not out on the golf course?
I think some jobs are less kind of like play school than that.
Right.
You're allowed, you're just given,
you're trusted.
You're trusted to actually just do your job your work, and you know, what is it? You achieve your deliverables, and if you do so within the time allocated, you know, well done you.
The other thing she could do is get a friend, find out where he's playing golf.
Yeah.
And get a friend to go out and play golf as well, and, you know, put a photograph up on social media or something and tag him in.
Like, he's probably playing golf with the senior managers.
Wow. Okay, one last quick one. Ever since my husband and I retired about 5 years ago, he's been like a different man. He plays golf, picks up the grandkids from school. He's really enjoying life. The main difference is that he's so much more relaxed. After departing from a stressful career in engineering, he has, for want of a better word, let go. I mean this in every sense. He's so relaxed that I find he's constantly farting around the house. Most of the time he doesn't say anything, but if it is particularly loud, he will chuckle as if it's a great laugh. He calls it his retirement gas. Gosh. I find it repulsive, and I've tried to gently guide him away from this newfound sense of liberation. The trouble is this. I have also found him to be a considerably hornier man since he retired. His libido is insatiable. But, call me mad, I don't find all this farting gets me in the mood. How do I try to get him to be more respectful while maintaining his new free and easy vibe? I'm suggesting visiting a gastroenterologist, but he laughs me off every time as if I'm the mad one. Yeah, maybe a step down from that might be a...
You know, she kind of weirdly has a point that, you know, rampantly new farting could be the sign of a medical condition.
Cool.
But I don't think this is like, she's finding something about this newly arrived creature in her life that's around a lot more, is doing something to bugger, and his farting, whether that's it's actually as often or is not as she's making it out. I mean, like, I don't know if he's actually really farting.
Of course he is.
All day long.
Of course he is. Yes, so, of course he is.
No, but when he was in his stressful career in engineering, he was probably farting all day long. He just wasn't around
farting. Then that's kind of what, we're kind of come to the same place, is that, you know, he's just annoying her because he's around being his farty self when he was doing it somewhere else before. And
no, I definitely think this is something that, and I obviously am not talking from personal experience, but obviously I think this is something that happens. And I think, again, as men get older and more comfortable in their, you know, you've been married forever, blah, blah, blah. Like, yeah, I'm going to, you know, and men have this built in thing that they think farting is either really clever and really funny. Mm. You know, the louder, the funnier, it's all great crack, and it's not. But I would have something to say, you know, brace yourself, Nora, because the next thing will be belching and then followed by muttering to yourself. And like, there's a whole load of things that men do as they get older and start to be around.
Yeah, out of that three, I think I would choose the belching and muttering before that. Yeah.
But it all adds up to the one story. I have a possible fix for her. And that is clearly to link sexy time with his ability to hold in his farting when
absolutely.
He is within
or
her
go
earshot.
Into the back garden or something.
Yeah, if he's within her earshot, no farting is allowed. You know, treat it like the same way as you would a kid, giving them gold stars for good behaviour.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? If you
don't
annoy me,
to hold it all in now. That,
you can go out in the garden, or you can go in the bathroom. You can fart in the bathroom.
Go elsewhere.
You can fart outside, you can fart in the garage, you can fart in your own car and on your Sweeney.
There was a thing in the papers recently, actually, I thought, now that you say that actually going for a walk after your meal and having a good old post-dinner fart is actually good for your system, apparently. So that
and you have to go for a walk
off
to do that?
I'd say
he's just farting, like, you know.
Presumably, because it's trapped wind, you know, moving around.
I know, you do have to let it out in some... It's just the circumstances in which he does that.
So maybe a good walk by himself on the golf course.
So get a dog.
Work it
all
out.
It's party time.
Come back for...
That's what I'm doing. Barbara and Declan, thanks a million.
Moncrief. Weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.